Certainly there is much reason to state, as did the songwriter, all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name cometh, the King and Blessed One. This is the one that Paul was speaking of when he wrote to the church at Rome. I would like to read from that first chapter of his letter to the church at Rome, reading there the first 19 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So far we read God's holy word. Let's seek his face in prayer. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of Christ Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God, one with thee, one who was made flesh and dwelt among us, one who died, rose again, and is now in heaven at thy right hand. We pray, Father, in his name for the Holy Spirit to be given, that he might direct us in this word which was written by the leading of the Spirit, the inspiration that was given to Paul to write this to the church at Rome. And we pray that that word may also be applied to us by that same Spirit. We pray, Father, that this word and all of thy word might be known in truth and power throughout the whole world, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and to every nation in the world. We pray that many laborers might be raised up to go into the fields which are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. We pray this, Father, in the church as well, that it might be revived, even where the word has been known, but where the church has become lukewarm, We pray that this word might be used to revive us again. We know that this church at Rome was established, and Paul longed to preach the gospel to them who already had it and knew it. But as he knew, they must know it yet even better. And we confess, Father, that so do we. We pray for these spiritual blessings first. We also pray for the other blessings that are needed for those who are suffering, those in sickness, those in injury, others in sorrow, those in persecution. We pray for the many needs that there are. We pray also that faith might be given to those who are in need, that they might look to Thee for all of their help through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Paul, writing here to this church, identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. He was called to be an apostle, but he is a servant. He is separated under the gospel of God. That gospel which, as he stated in verse 2, he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And that gospel concerned, as we read in verse 3, his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is God's Son manifest in the flesh. He is called God's Son or his Son in verse 3, and again in verse 3, and then again in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. But he's also described as made of the seed of David. Who was made of the seed of David? We can say Jesus, the man. He was born in the lineage of David. He was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. But it was the Son of God who was born of the seed of David. What an amazing wonder. The Creator of the world coming down to be born in the seed of a man. Even though David was king, David was also a sinner. David was one who confessed that he was born in sin. He stated, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He knew he had inherited that already from Adam. But Christ took on him this form of a man and was described here, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. God had given David that promise that in his seed, the one who would be the Savior of the world would be born. Micah declared that he would be born in Bethlehem. There are many other prophecies of Christ. Again, we think of those words in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures which God told men to write. And they could write of the coming of the Lord Jesus, though it would be many years hence. God told Moses to write what he had already told earlier to Adam, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And later, when Moses came on the scene, he told Moses to write this all down as it had taken place. And we have all that history in the book of Genesis. We also have other promises given of Christ as God gave them to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, the last book that Moses wrote, his farewell to Israel. He stated in that, or God stated to Moses, and Moses wrote it, that a prophet like unto thee I will raise up. Him shall the people hear. And then we have the words of Samuel. We have the words as David wrote them himself, and spake of seeing Christ on his right hand, spake of the resurrection of Christ. And we have the words of Isaiah. Then we have as well the recognition recorded in the New Testament. of those who believed that the Messiah was going to come, the Messiah which is called Christ, and that he would be born of the seed of David. We have that recorded for us as Matthew writes of it. We can see that there were at times those who were in expectancy. At one time there were two blind men who followed the Lord Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, cried, and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." They knew that Jesus was the one promised to David, the one who would come in David's lineage. And they called him, "Thou Son of David." What an amazing thing. Here, Paul writes a number of years later that he is an apostle, he is a servant of Jesus Christ, and he is bringing that message earlier spoken of by the prophets concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Only in the flesh. He was also the Son of God, and he remained that throughout the time that he lived in the flesh. He was that before, when Micah prophesied of his being born in Bethlehem. He stated of him, "whose goings forth were of old." We also have further revelations of Christ as the seed of David. We read in Matthew chapter 21, shortly before his death, how he went up to Jerusalem, and we read, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So we could see that there were many who did recognize him as that promised seed of David, one who was born, as Paul writes, made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Those who trusted in him knew that he was Jesus, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of David. We can see in other places in the Gospel as well. In Matthew chapter 22, even the Pharisees and scribes knew this, but they would not identify Jesus as that one that was promised. We read in Matthew 22, verse 41, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The Son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." The answer, of course, was that Christ was David's Lord long before he was born in the flesh. He knew him as Lord, and he knew that God, who was his Lord, God the Father, one with the Son, said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool." We can see throughout the Old and the New Testament that the Lord Jesus was truly that one of David, and the one of whom David said he will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as John recorded it, we see John recording these words as Jesus spoke them. In John chapter 2, verse 19, "Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. That's the important thing for not only them, but for us as well. They believed the Scripture. They believed what God had written earlier. And they identified the Lord Jesus with that Scripture. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. He was the son of David. And that's what Paul is telling us here concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He continued even to call himself that after he had lived in the flesh here on earth and went back to heaven with that body that he lived in here, and of which the angel said, in like manner you shall see him come again. When he was in heaven, he told John to write to the churches. When John wrote to the church of Philadelphia, this is what he wrote, recording Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. We also see in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, these words from the Lord Jesus to all of us. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. He is that right now. He was that when he was here on earth. He was that when he wrote this a number of years later. And now he is still that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen again. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Is it any wonder that Paul stated, Father, in this first chapter, as he wrote to the church at Rome, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. God gave us this word to believe, and God gave us this word that in believing we might know the power of God unto salvation. It was for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We might say today it is for the church and it is for the world. The church needs it desperately. Paul wrote to this church at Rome, a church established. But he said, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. We might say, why? They had heard it. They believed it. They were spoken of as having a faith that was known throughout the world. We can never hear the gospel too much. There's a song that states, those that know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Woe unto them who think they know it so well that they don't want to hear it. Those who may have become lukewarm in it, and worse than that, proud. The Lord Jesus wrote to the church at Laodicea, stating, thou sayest thou art rich and in need of nothing. Woe unto us if there's ever a time that we don't need the gospel preached to us. I need to preach it to myself. I need to read it. I need to hear it. I need to have it. I needed from the Word of God. I needed by the power of the Spirit. And we all need it much more than we have it. The church is in a low ebb. We need to be revived. And what can revive us? Only the gospel of Christ. That which we began with, we must continue with, and we must have more of it, and we must return to it when we have turned aside, when we have left our first love, like the church at Ephesus did. We don't read that Paul reprimands this church here very much. He does some particular factions or some particular individuals, as he does in the second chapter, especially, seemingly, the Jews that were in that church. But he still writes to them concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's another reason we can know that this Jesus Christ was the same person that David spoke of when he said, as we can read in Psalm 16, David there spoke of the Lord. He stated, I see the Lord always on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh shall also rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. As we can see from Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, David was here prophesying of the resurrection of Christ. Christ was not only born of the seed of David, he was the fulfillment of what David prophesied. It is all one message. What David wrote, what we read in the four Gospels of Christ, and what Paul wrote here afterwards of him. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of the Church. He is the King who has come in David's name. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. That's what they sang. The Pharisees were offended, but the Lord Jesus said, if these would hold their peace, the stones would cry out. The world must know, and the world will know, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, is God's salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is for you. It is for me. It is for all the rest of the world. It is for the church that claims to know Christ. It is for Israel, the Jews today, who still are looking for Christ. It is for the heathen religions. All of them must hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, to be saved. Join us again next week.